Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks very much for having me here today, and thanks to the organisers for considering me to speak to you. It's a great opportunity for me, and I hope you enjoy what I have to say. I look forward to answering plenty of questions. Surprisingly, I won't be talking very much about the DUP or the Attorney General, which is a surprise for me because that's what I seem to spend most of my days doing recently. I've been asked to speak about equal marriage, and should probably state from the outset that I myself am not married, nor am I in a civil partnership. And as long as Johnny Depp remains single, so will I. I hail from a small town in Mahara, County Derry. Those of you from Northern Ireland may know where that is. And was born in 1984, which makes me 29. I was expecting a gasp there, but I'll let it go this time. Rather than being a child of peace, I would call myself a teenager of peace, which I think gives me a bit more freedom to be temperamental, difficult, and perhaps even have a little bit of a tantrum. As already said, as well as being the director of the Rainbow Project, I'm also chair of the Equal Marriage NI campaign. As many of you will be aware, recent votes in the House of Commons and in the House of Lords with overwhelming majorities mean that equal marriage will soon be a reality in England and Wales. And I was at a meeting in London last week where they're actually talking about February, possibly for the first same-sex marriages to be carried out in England and Wales, if everything goes to plan, which it likely won't. In Scotland, the Assembly voted on Wednesday night, and once again we've seen overwhelming support for equal marriage, almost 7-1 in favour. The Republic of Ireland are due to hold a referendum on equal marriage in 2015, after again overwhelming support at the Constitutional Convention. The reality is now that Northern Ireland is likely to be left behind. I often get challenged by people stating that in Northern Ireland people don't want equal marriage, and that's a very difficult thing to argue against, particularly considering how vocal so many of the groups who are opposed to equal marriage actually are. But I think what we can be clear on here is that those who shout the loudest don't always speak for the most people. The Northern Ireland Life and Times survey carried out last year showed that 57% of respondents think marriages between same-sex couples should be recognised by law as valid with the same rights as traditional marriages. Now, very interestingly within that, responses in support only dropped below 60% amongst 55 to 64-year-olds and up. Beyond that, every age group, there was over 60%, and in the youngest age groups, over 70% in support of equal marriage. 47% of 55 to 64-year-olds supported the introduction of equal marriage, and 30% of 65-plus supported the introduction of equal marriage. What's very interesting is that 65% of those who identified as Catholic supported equal marriage, 44% of those who identified as Protestant supported equal marriage, and 73% of those who identified as no religion supported the introduction of equal marriage. Interestingly, again, this is reflected in the politics. Nationalist politicians are, in the large part, in support of equal marriage. Unionist politicians are, again, in the large part, opposed to equal marriage. We saw that in recent votes in the Assembly, where between three, depending on which vote you look at, only four unionist politicians have voted in support of equal marriage. Only one nationalist actually abstained from the vote rather than voting against, and every other voting unionist and every other voting nationalist voted either in support or in opposition to equal marriage. The question I believe needs to be posed is, are our politicians led by our people, or is it the other way around? Is it the left-right nature of our political divide that is fueling this opposition, or is this all just a consequence of the larger constitutional question? Why do people actually vote for who they vote for? While equal marriage is often presented as the biggest issue for our community in the media, or by the media and others, equal marriage is only one aspect of a larger minefield of issues impacting in our community. There's never been a better time to be lesbian, gay, bisexual or transgender in Northern Ireland. That is simply fact. But I believe rather than being a consequence of peace and politics in Northern Ireland, it appears to have been hindered by it. The fact remains that the Northern Ireland Assembly has passed no measure, no motion, no law in relation to LGBT equality. We're very lucky here. We have civil partnerships. We have protections in our jobs, protections from hate crime, and protections when accessing goods, facilities and services. But each and every one of these measures was introduced by direct rule, by a Labour government. And had these issues been left to the Northern Ireland Assembly, each of these measures would have fallen. And that's not my opinion, that's fact, proven by the votes that were carried out during the Shadow Assembly on each of these issues. The new politics of Northern Ireland and the old politics of Northern Ireland have failed my community. From the Save Ulster from Sodomy campaign to the failure of the current executive to publish a sexual orientation strategy, the system is not working for our community. We've seen now the second deadline for the publication of a sexual orientation strategy that was first drafted in 2008, now about to pass. We were promised it by the end of 2012, we were also promised it by the end of 2013, and we still haven't had a consultation document launched by OFM-DFM. Now, I'm not stupid, I'm cognizant that the issues which impact on my life relate to more than my sexual orientation, and I'm aware of the importance of peace. But I believe we have to strive for more than we've been getting. We have to strive for a system and process that has some capacity for achievement. We have to bring back the power of the ballot box, because it is clearer now than it ever has been before that a five-party system of government just does not work. When there are stalemates, when there is no achievement, and while people feel they are worse off, when we view all politicians as the same because they can't agree on anything and seem to forget they come from polar opposites, when we make change impossible, then honestly, how can Northern Ireland ever move forward in any direction? Do people in Northern Ireland truly understand the value and the cost of their vote? When politicians are not achieving or can't achieve, then what's the point? How do we actually hold them to account? We blame the parties and the politicians for not working together, but honestly, do we really, really expect them to? Take the history out of it, take sectarianism out of it, and take the North-South Britain divide out of it. Just view the parties and the political spectrum. We expect centrist parties, left and right, to agree on taxation, benefits, housing, education, healthcare, and the economy. The power of the ballot box is the power to choose a government, to choose on issues and promises, and of course the ability to change a government. But how can we do that in Northern Ireland when we have a five-party system? How can we ever vote and hold people to account when the expectation of their achievements is based on the other parties they have to share government with through forced coalition? Sound a bit like Jim Allister here, I know, but I promise it's from a different perspective. So as I said, marriage isn't the biggest issue impacting in our community. I believe there are two: invisibility and isolation. I will deal with isolation first. Unlike faith communities, people of different ethnic minorities or races or culture, lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people are not likely to share their identity with others in their family, very similar to those people living with disabilities. The difference is we're likely to face opposition on the basis of that identity, more so than those living with disabilities. Not saying people living with disabilities don't have their own challenges. From the first point of accepting our sexual orientation or gender identity, we're different, and we're aware of it. Coming from a rural town, I know this well. I know what it's like to look around your local community and not see anyone else who is like you. I was 19 before I met another person who was same-sex attracted. I remember feeling that I didn't want to be gay, that I wasn't gay because I wanted a family, because I wanted to get married, and at that time in my life I only understood gay men as men who wanted to have sex with as many other men as possible, because that's all I was ever told and that's all I was ever taught. That was the only information that I had access to. I was isolated. I had no idea of the community that existed and that I could be part of that. I had no idea that there were so many people out there who were going through exactly what I was going through. And isolation doesn't just happen to rural LGBT people. It happens in communities that are not accepting of minority sexual orientations or gender identities. It happens in working class communities and middle class communities alike. And isolation fuels invisibility, and invisibility fuels isolation. And both these issues are our community's legacy of the Troubles. The recognition of two communities and two communities alone makes our issues and our communities invisible. The fact that good relations is only recognised as issues for people of different faiths, political opinions and ethnic backgrounds prevents the important work that needs to happen in educating communities about LGBT people, about our history, about our culture, about our hopes and our dreams, our place in this society and the impact we have in it. So if marriage isn't the biggest issue, then why work on it? Well, it's simple. We want equality. We want to be treated equally under the law. We want our love, our relationships and our families to be recognised as equals. One of the arguments against equal marriage I hear all the time is that if it's introduced, then schools will have to teach about same-sex couples as an aspect of marriage. And personally, I fail to see the issue with this. But more so, I fail to see it coming a reality. When we look at young people today, do we honestly think they're not aware of same-sex attracted people or same-sex couples? Even The Simpsons is covering same-sex attracted people and LGBT people. These are realities that young people are aware of. The question we need to ask is, do we want to give them the right information, or do we want to leave the information they receive to be gathered from the playground or from the internet or from their peers? All public authorities are required to promote equality of opportunity for people of different sexual orientations under Section 75 of the Northern Ireland Act, except schools. In our daily work in the Rainbow Project, we work with schools across Northern Ireland, some of whom are doing amazing work in integrating LGBT issues into the curriculum and into school life, who are tackling homophobia and transphobia and creating safe spaces for LGBT people. Unfortunately, they're few and far between. Too many of our schools do not support LGBT people, do not appropriately deal with homophobic and transphobic bullying, and teach that same-sex attraction is wrong. Research carried out by the Department of Education to date does not monitor for sexual orientation or gender identity. Surveys like the Nature and Extent of Bullying report reported bullying of a sexual nature to include homophobic bullying, because as we know, gay people are only about sex. Other surveys which ask about drug taking, about alcohol, about home life, about domestic violence, but do not talk about sexual orientation or gender identity because, and I quote, it is a private matter. Young LGBT people in education are invisible. In schools, our community do not have the right to learn about our history, about our people. People like Alan Turing, who was instrumental in ending the Second World War and the end of the Nazi regime through breaking the Enigma codes. A gay man who was criminalised and chemically castrated for the crime of being gay. The man who invented the modern-day computer and whose initial work in this field exists today in every mobile phone, tablet, computer and ATM machine. A hero who died by suicide, isolated and invisible. We're also told that equal marriage will damage the fabric of society, harm marriage and demean the marriages of heterosexual people. Some people even believe that the introduction of marriage will lead to the legalisation of polygamy and bestiality. But we've heard all this before. We heard this during the debates around civil partnerships, and none of these fears have come to light. Me marrying a same-sex partner does not damage or change someone else's marriage. But even if it did, why is that my problem? Why should my rights be dictated by the impact they have on someone else? Marriage is important. Families are important, and equality is important. Are civil partnerships not enough? No, because there is no way to justify it than to say that same-sex love is something less than heterosexual love, that same-sex parented families are less than opposite-sex parented families, and that LGBT people cannot be trusted or are less than our heterosexual gender binary peers. Our community deserves to be treated as equal. We deserve equal rights and equal access. We deserve recognition and protections for our families, equal to that of everyone else. So finally, why is marriage important? It is important to many in our community in the same way that it's important to everyone else who wants to get married. It is important for us to share in this social convention and to prove to society that we are not here to harm. We are not here to rise above. We are here to play our part in wider society as equals, striving towards our goals and aspirations for our families and our children. Let me finish by saying that, in my view, the way forward for Northern Ireland is to find a way to stop opposing difference but celebrating diversity. We must stop hating and fearing difference because it's infectious. And where does that infection start? It starts in our minds. So watch your thoughts. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character because your character becomes your destiny. And it's an onus on all of us to leave here today, go out and create a new destiny. Thank you.